Well, according to the Bible, the empty tomb is literally the heartbeat of our faith. I mean, the fact of what we celebrate right now, this weekend, the resurrection, is our only source of hope. And boy, God really inspired Paul in a specific way to make this clear in both the negative and the positive in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting with verse 17. Paul wrote, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile." I mean, you're still in your sins. "Then those also who have fallen asleep, who are dead, having believed in Christ, are lost. It means nothing. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we're of all people most to be pitied. If we live a life believing in Jesus and looking forward to his hope, and he never walked out of the tomb, it's a joke. It's a waste. But," then Paul said, "put that fear and anxiety and doubt to bed, because Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He is risen, it is true, and you can find your hope in it." But here's the reality we have to confess. If the resurrection of Jesus is not true, then all of the teachings and all of the promises of Jesus are worthless. But as Paul stated it, the good news that we can embrace on this Easter Sunday is that it is true. And any of you who may be skeptical about that, we get it. You're welcome. We've all been there. But you need to do just a little bit of investigation. Don't buy the party line that this is just a fairy tale, that you can't believe this, there's no way this happened, that kind of thing doesn't go on in the world. Do a little deep dive. There are books written about it. I've given talks about it. But it's not a blind leap of faith to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. On the contrary, it's historically difficult to dismiss. In fact, it's the most rational explanation to all of the history that we have about this event. All of the disciples ran for fear of their lives, were cowards, and in spite of committing to follow Jesus, they ran away from Jesus when he was betrayed and being hauled by the government to be crucified. I mean, these were cowards. And then somehow, amazingly, after his death, which should have caused them more fear, we were good to run. They could kill us too. But after he died, all of a sudden they lost their fear and they became fearless. All of a sudden, they weren't running away, they were running into trouble, and they were running into trouble declaring the reality of the name of Jesus, which could, and ultimately did, get them killed. What led to that change? A lie? They stole the body and then wanted to convince people he was real, and they all died and because of that? No, it doesn't make sense. But I think even more important than the disciples, who were Jesus' allies? Who were Jesus' friends? You can see them wanting, maybe, to build up his story. But the guy that just wrote, if the resurrection didn't happen, it's worthless to follow Jesus, but you can count on it to happen. Not only did he live at the time that Jesus lived, he was trained as a leader of the Jews. He was one of the smart guys of that culture. And he started out despising Christ, celebrating his death and trying to destroy any memory that he had ever lived. He hauled people and threw them into prison, destroyed their lives, and even was party to killing people for simply naming Jesus Christ. And then one day, he changed. And he says, "You know the Jesus that I dismissed? I met him alive. And he's changed my life." And the rest of his life was lived for the hope of Jesus, even though it destroyed his life. He was thrown in prison. He was beaten to a pulp multiple times. And he ultimately died for this proclamation. What turns an enemy to a proponent? There's only one really rational explanation. This guy met the living Jesus. But I'm not here to convince you. I'm here to share what should be the impact. For those of us who do embrace the idea of the resurrection, we're excited about singing these songs and this holiday. For those of us who really do believe it, there's an important question we should be asking ourselves, and that's simply this: what if it's true? What if it's true what we sing about, that Jesus rose? What if it's true? What should be the difference in our life? What difference does it make in our world? Should it affect how we live? And the obvious answer to that is, yes, it should affect how you live. The sad truth is, most people who declare belief in the resurrection live no differently than anyone else. When people have truly met the risen Savior, as Paul the Apostle shows, when they know he's alive, it changes their entire life. The question is, has it changed yours? What if it's true? Well, let me just give you a couple of answers that I've had to consider, because this isn't about me pointing at you. This is about me being a part of the journey with you, and I don't know for a fact that my life is as good a reflection of Jesus as it should be if I really believed he was alive. What if it's true? Well, if Jesus rose from the dead, that means that we can experience a new life, every one of us. I love how Paul, the apostle, said it, who wrote the wrong story with his life and messed up so profoundly by even killing Jesus' followers. This is what he said in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Well, I have to tell you that along with Paul, I've blown it profoundly. So many regrets, so much to have shame and guilt over, but because Jesus walked out of that tomb, I don't have to live in bondage to my old story. I can experience the new life of Jesus' resurrection, and so can you. What if it's true? You can have a new life. You can start over. What if it's true? Well, if Jesus really rose from the dead, it means we don't have to live or lead empty lives. Because the tomb is empty, we can experience the fullness of Jesus. If Jesus was still in the grave filling it up, we would have nothing to fill us up. We would be empty, which is where most of the world is, and sadly, most people in churches today, it's where they are. Trying to find some kind of meaning and some kind of hope and some kind of peace and some kind of joy through stuff, through success, through achievement, through getting one more follower on their Instagram with their beautiful hip move. I mean, really? The more followers you have, the more you realize one more follower will just leave you as empty as you were before. It does nothing for you. But we don't have to keep living and leading empty lives, because if Jesus rose from the dead, he is available and willing to fill us up. Mark 8:36 really points out the reality of the world without Jesus. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet lose their soul? Then Jesus said, but this is why I came into the world. John 10:10, oh, the thief, the evil one, comes to steal, kill, and destroy, to suck the very life out of you and leave you empty. But I have come to give you life in all of its fullness. What if it's true? If Jesus rose, you can experience the fullness that God intends for you. And if it's true, if Jesus really rose, you have the power available to you to successfully live the life that God has designed for you, even in this dark, despairing, and godless world. I mean, you just do. Look at Philippians 4:13. Because Jesus is alive, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. If Jesus was still in the grave, that verse right there would be a joke. But if the tomb is empty and Jesus is alive, which he is, that means that he is available to give us the strength that we need to accomplish what God has created us for. We don't have to live in our weakness. We can live in his strength. And then 1 John 4:4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome all this junk, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. If Jesus was still in the tomb, then the only thing in us would be ourselves, and it would be weakness and frailty and brokenness and flaws. But if Jesus really arose from the dead, it means that he can be in us, and he's greater than your biggest challenge. He's greater than your biggest obstacle. He's greater than your biggest fear. He's greater than your biggest storm. He's greater than your biggest persecution. He's greater than the enemy of the world. And we don't have to cower and live in fear. We can stand up fearless and encouraged and with hope because Jesus walked out of that tomb and he's giving his power to us. If he, yeah, you can clap if you want. That's fine. To me, I don't know if you can tell, this is an exciting message for me, but there was only one that liked it enough to clap and the rest of you gave us pity, so thank you very much for that. Maybe along the way, you'll find some excitement about it too. Just kidding, just kidding. You're saying, seriously, I sat in a traffic jam to come to Northridge for Easter and you're going to beat me up for not clapping? Thank you very much, dude. Well, Jesus' resurrection gives you the power to overcome your bitterness even towards me. So that's just another thought. You can have in you the one who's greater than anything in the world. But what saddens me is that very often I cower before the life and the obstacles that I have to face instead of realizing that Jesus is bigger than any of those enemies, don't you? I don't want to sit around and sing songs about the resurrection and tell stories about it. I want to experience the power of it, and all we have to do is finally say, man, I believe. What if it's true that Jesus rose? Well, if Jesus rose, it means that God has the power to turn a permanent ending into a brand new beginning. Now, for me, this is where this conversation starts really heating up. Because the one thing I hate more than anything else on the planet as a human being is endings. I despise endings, and that's bad for me, because here's the reality. Humanity is about two things and two things only in the end, beginnings and endings. No way around it. You're born, and then, sorry, you die. Ending. Beginnings and endings. I hate endings so much. I used to really bug my wife. We would plan for a long time for a cool getaway, a cool vacation, and she would say, no, we didn't plan. I planned. So, okay, I'm a pastor, got to have integrity. She would plan for a long time for these vacations that we were going on, and 2 days into the vacation, no matter how great it was, I would start getting kind of depressed. She'd go, what is going on? I said, it's going to be over before you know it. I know, how depressing, right? I mean, seriously, what a depressing guy. I hate endings, but you know, vacations are one thing, but in real life, it's another. When I stood at my dad's grave, that was the first time I experienced a permanent ending that changed my life forever. That was a loss that was permanent. And I don't know about you, but the grief of those kind of moments. Some of you have faced job losses and relationship losses, and you know exactly the permanent ending. And if Jesus didn't walk out of that tomb, then permanent endings rationally only lead to one place, permanent grief, permanent despair, agony, bitterness, anger, which explains why our world's like our world is. Endings lead to despair. But what if it's true? If Jesus rose, that means that God can take our permanent endings and make them brand new beginnings. Look at how Acts 2 says it, verse 23. This man, Jesus, was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. It's not an accident that he died. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death, permanent ending, by nailing him to the cross. Talk about permanent. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Because Jesus walked out of that tomb and is alive, there are two words that can change our lives: but God. I don't know what you're facing right now. Some of you are probably in an agony that's beyond anything I've ever experienced. Some of you are facing really hopeless circumstances, real darkness. Your life's being turned upside down, and it seems like a permanent ending. And humanly, it is. Nothing you can do about it. But I want you to know, we're here celebrating an event that was a permanent ending. Jesus dead and in the grave. And then he walked out. Which means, in your circumstance, no matter how dark, you should always have hope. But God. But God. This isn't a song we sing, a holiday we celebrate. This is the reality that God provided us. God so loved us that he gave his Son, so we who could only know despair could by his grace know a brand new beginning. As we sang earlier, they laid him down inside that grave, permanent ending. But that wasn't the end. We don't ever have to lose hope because Sunday is coming, a brand new beginning. I don't know what you're facing, but I know this. God is opening the door to a brand new journey, and in Christ Jesus, no matter how dark, his sun will always shine. You say, but we live in Michigan and the sun never shines. I get it. I've lived here a long time, and I'm going to tell you, in the winter, in the cold of winter, when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the sun shows up and it gets to like 70 degrees, dude, talk about hope. The shorts come out, the t-shirts go on, the golf clubs come out. It's party time. In Michigan, it's only last a couple hours, but I mean, it's party time. But I'm telling you, in life, we know what it's like to be in darkness. But every single day, no matter how dark, Jesus is alive. He is risen, the sun is shining, and he's got a brand new beginning for you. Embrace it, grab onto it, believe it. And finally, if Jesus really rose, that means Jesus is who he said he was. And who did he say he was? John 14:6, Jesus answered, you want to know who I am? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. If just some person shows up and tells you that, you should look at them and laugh. But when they're dead and nailed to a cross and buried, and then they walk out, you might go, I'm following you. He's the way, the truth, and the life. You want to get to the Father. You want to find God. You want to know God's love. You want to know God's promise. There's one way. Follow the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, and he will take you all the way there. Knowing Jesus doesn't mean we don't face permanent endings. Jesus had three good friends, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. They were siblings, and Lazarus died. And Jesus came to comfort Martha and Mary, and he said this in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. We still face permanent endings, but never without the hope of a brand new beginning of life eternal. And then Jesus said, and whoever lives by believing in me never really dies. So I was standing at my dad's grave, permanent ending. And I was still able to find and know and experience hope because I knew my dad, though he had died, was still alive. This Easter celebration is no little thing because it tells us as Jesus walked out of that tomb so we can experience life after our death, and all we have to do is believe. One of the most beautiful memories I have was at my dad's funeral. He had polio when he was 17, and we put his crutches leaning up against his casket, knowing that he would never need them again. because our permanent endings are God's brand new beginnings. And I just want to share this real life personal thing with you. If you've been at Northridge a long time, you've heard about my dad. Hey, it's a good thing when a son can talk about their dad in a positive way. This is a picture of my dad. By the way, he was a pretend farmer. I'm just telling you right now. He was really a lawyer and a judge and a land developer. This was a joke right here. But I mean, he loved it for some reason. I don't get it. Get something faster, Dad, was my thought. But anyway, he loved it. But you know, he started in a broken and impoverished family. The word privilege never touched this guy's life. His dad was a raging alcoholic, dysfunctional, broken man who didn't invest in his family. He was crazy, and his mom, my dad's mom, of course, became this broken and dysfunctional woman. And my dad, when he was 7 years old, in this family of agony, got TB and was put in a home by himself as a seven-year-old kid until he healed. For a year, he was there. And then when he was 17, he got polio and lost the use of his legs. It took him a year to develop, with crutches, the ability to walk a little bit. And yet this man, who had no encouragement from anyone, decided, I'm going to make something of my life and find happiness. And so he put himself through high school, he put himself through college, he put himself through grad school, and then he put himself through law school, started a very successful law firm, became a judge, a land developer, a very successful guy. But at 37, this is what he said, I had achieved every dream I could imagine dreaming as that poor little boy in my quest to find happiness, and all I found was emptiness. I was still the same miserable person within. And that's what started his journey, and his journey finally stopped when he found Jesus. And Jesus' death and burial and resurrection became the transformative truth in my dad's life. It changed his life forever. When he was 68, he got pancreatic cancer 24 years ago. That was a death sentence. And he was in the hospital, and one of my brothers and I flew down to see him immediately. My other brother was a pastor as well, and you don't believe in a miracle-working God. My dad was a lawyer, and he had two sons that became pastors. I mean, seriously, that's a miracle. But then my brother and I walked into my dad's hospital room, and remember, we were pastors. We had stood on platforms, and we had taught about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his hope. And here we were facing our dad's permanent ending and our permanent ending with our dad, and we lost it. It was all grief. And my dad looked at us. He was the one dying. He looked at us with that stupid farm-all tractor smile of his, and he said, "You can't scare me with heaven, boys." Here's what happens when you know... Here's what happens when you know the risen Jesus. You still face endings. You still face disappointments. You still face hurt and betrayal and brokenness and darkness and hatred and death. But you never have to face them without hope. Never. We're celebrating the resurrection now because you, each and every one of you, need that hope. God loved you enough to give it to you, but all you have to do is choose it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it. You can't. You've already blown it, and so have I. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by God's grace are you saved through faith, which is the gift of God." You can't experience it by works, otherwise you'd be proud of yourself. We're only going to brag about one person in heaven, and that's Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and rose again. That's the only one we're going to brag about. But we will miss some people. We don't want those people to be you. I'm begging you. Put your faith in Jesus. Accept the gift of God. Let him change your life. In fact, right now, before we continue in worship, would you bow your head with me just for a moment? And as we bow, I just want to encourage you. I know thousands of you are watching online. So glad you're with us. Some of you are watching at our Northridge Brighton campus. So glad you're with us. Others right here in Plymouth where I'm speaking. But I want you to know, wherever you are, if you don't know Jesus, you can right now. Take my words in this prayer and make them your words said in faith to God. Just say, Jesus, I believe that you came, that you lived the perfect life I failed to live, and then on that cross you died the death I deserve to die. But then you rose to give me new life. So I, right now, confess my sin, turn to you, and put my faith in your forgiveness and salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed with me, let us know. We want to give you a book of the Bible that in journal form. It's a really neat little way to get to know God a little better and send you ideas for building next steps with God. And all you have to do is text us. We need to know you prayed with me. So text us to the number 31616, one word message, Northridge. And we'll send you a link, fill that out, get it back to us. We'll send you that information. But you know what you want to do? You know what you can't help doing when you meet the risen Savior? You can't help wanting to praise him and worship him and thank him. And so that's what this celebration's about. So would you stand together with us right now? And together, let's worship Jesus, the risen Savior, who has a name above all names.